Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
Are you ready for the word this morning? I believe already God is moving, but I believe God's got something for all of us today. So why don't you lift your hands to heaven? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm ready to receive. I pray today will be a really, really significant day for me. That you'd speak to me and you'd enlarge me and you'd pour into me. And Lord, let me be different because of coming to church today. And may I see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. My message was inspired. I went to Hillsong Conference in Sydney about a year ago. And at the conference, we take our whole family at this one time of year. And just before the conference had began, I found myself at the shopping mall. And there was a few of us girls who lead Hillsong churches around the world, and we were together. And we were at the shopping mall, just like shopping, and there's just about four or five of us, and I think maybe both my daughters. Something happened. I can't even remember exactly what happened, but maybe it was one or two things, like maybe one of my daughters ran across the road without looking, or something happened where I must have freaked out. And I must have gone, oh my gosh, like freak out. And then one of the girls who was with us, she said, oh, typical Lucinda, you always freak out. And I was like, and then she kind of said it as a joke. And I laughed it off and said, oh, yeah, typical Lucinda. She always freaks out. And just had a little chuckle. And then my other friend in the circle, who kind of knows me better, actually looked as if to say, yes, that's true. And so I just laughed, and no one would have known. They don't even know I'm telling this story. No one would have known that bothered me. And I just had a little chuckle and thought, oh, no big deal. But then I left. And then as we were driving away, I thought to myself, why would they say, typical Lucinda, she always freaks out? And so it bothered me. And so I started like thinking about it and talking to God about it. And I actually think, in hindsight, God always uses things to do something greater in your heart if you let him. And as I drove away, I'm like talking to God, going, why would they say that? And then I started to like just ponder it and go back and forward with why they would say that or why they would think that or what it is about me that would project. She always freaks out. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say something to me. This is what I felt him say. He said, Lucinda, the reason they say that is because your default position is always one of fear. But I want your default position to become one of faith. And do you know what? As much as I didn't want to hear that, it was actually the reality. And I didn't freak out like, oh my gosh. It was just a little freak out. But it's still, everything about you says something about you, right? So obviously something about me was giving off a vibe that I was freaking out. And then when the Lord said, your default position is always one of fear, and I want your default position to become one of faith, something in my heart went, that is exactly true. Because I knew God wanted to work fear out of my life, because if I have a fear problem, I have a love problem. And I don't want to have a love problem, because perfect love casts out fear. So in the last 12, 18 months, I have been on a journey to eliminate fear out of my life. And so if I'm on a journey to eliminate fear, I just thought I'd take you all on the journey with me. Is that okay? And we'll all go on a journey and let's eliminate fear out of our life, because fear is not meant to rule us. We are meant to be ruled only by faith. I love the message that Megan brought at conference, because she spoke about what you do in the wait. And then she spoke about Jairus in the Bible. And I love that story, because it's actually all about faith. Because there is one thing that Jesus can't do. You know that he is God, but there's something he can't do. Do you know what he can't do? He can't respond to no faith. And so we have to allow fear to get out and faith to come in. And you know what? If we're going to reach, listen, you have to hear this. Church, my church. I wondered why my driver kept saying, my church, my church, my church. She was so passionate about my church. She kept talking to my church. And then I realized, hang on a minute, that's the name of the church. That's why she's so passionate. But listen, this my church, this beautiful church family. How are you going to reach? I was going to say Africa. How are you going to reach Africa? How are you going to reach Canada if there is no faith? Because God responds to our faith. And so I would love just to pull fear out of every heart here. And I would love to deposit faith into every heart. So I've called my message this morning, Turning Panic into Peace. How do you turn your panic into peace? How did I turn my moment of freak out in the shopping center? How am I learning to turn my fear into faith or my panic into peace? So I'm going to read a Bible story today and then share with you a few things. Is that okay? See, the word, okay, let's just read this. I'll tell you about the word later. Okay, let's read together. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says this. The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall or a storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, or the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Do you know, I've always thought this story. I grew up going to church and I used to get dragged along to Sunday school and I would hear this story. I always thought this story was about a storm. And it is about a storm. But I always thought it was about a storm. But now I've seen it from a different perspective. I actually think this story is more about Jesus highlighting the fear in the hearts of the disciples rather than it is about the storm. Because I believe this story was meant to highlight their faith, but rather than highlighting their faith, it highlights their fear. And so I thought we'd have a little look at this story today and learn how to turn our panic into peace. So the very first thing, How do you turn your panic into peace? Well, I believe in this story. You can see here, we'll read in verse 37, so you're going to help me preach this morning. It says here, a furious storm came up, the waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was in the boat. Is that what it says? Where, church, where was Jesus? Up the back, where was Jesus? Where was he? In the boat. So we all agree on that. Jesus was in the boat. So wouldn't it make you think, if you are going to turn your panic into peace, I believe number one, you have to realize that, you can put my first point up. Peace, look at this, is not the absence of a storm, but rather realizing the presence of Jesus in the storm. Because Jesus was in the boat. So when you face a challenge, where is Jesus? Yes, thank you. Jesus was in the boat. So listen, when a storm arises, when fear gets heightened in your heart, when something goes on, you don't have to freak out and panic. All you need to do is take a few steps back and remind yourself, hang on a minute, Jesus is in the boat. Yes. So whatever you face, no matter how big, no matter how small, just remind yourself today, hang on a minute, it's okay, because Jesus is in my boat. And if Jesus is in my boat, he can actually turn my panic into peace. So I don't have to freak out. When I realize, hang on, my default position is fear, but God wants to make it faith, I don't have to freak out. I just have to remember that Jesus is in my boat. Today he's in your boat. Storms will come. Challenges will come. Things will come out of left field at times. But just remind yourself that Jesus is in the boat. That's why I love how Moses commissions Joshua. And he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then Moses summons Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them. You must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Come on, church, can I remind us this morning that Jesus is in the boat? Number two, if you're going to turn your panic into peace, number two, have a look at this. I actually start to think this, that you turn your panic into peace, maybe not by more movement, but maybe by more rest. Because Jesus was in the boat, and then it says this, and his head was on a cushion. Okay, does that freak you out? Why would his head be on a cushion? Like, why is the Bible telling us Jesus is in the boat and now his head's on a cushion? So, like, there's a storm and everything's going crazy. See, this is easy to preach. It's hard to live it. But, you know, there's a storm. Jesus is in the boat, yes, and now his head's on a cushion. And I think he wants to remind us, you know, when you face a storm, you're like, okay, who am I going to call? I'm going to make sure I've told Pastor Caleb because he's going to actually be able to come around and pray for me. And then I'm going to tell Julie and she's going to gather everyone and they're going to pray. And then I'm going to call all my Connect group and they're also going to pray. And then I'm going to tell my family and then they're all going to get on the page. And then I'm going to freak out to everybody around me. And then I'm going to talk about it 100 times and make sure everybody knows. And then I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, no, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do about this. Have you heard about this? Did you hear about this? And then you go on and on and on. But sometimes if we can stop ourselves and we can realize, hang on, he's in the boat. And maybe peace comes not by more movement, but just by more rest. That's why I love what it says. Let me read you this in Matthew chapter 11. Have a look in the message. It says, are you tired or worn out or burned out on religion? He says, now come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Anybody want to live freely and lightly? I want to live freely. I want to live lightly. I don't want to live complicated. I want to just love everyone and be free. What a good way to live your life. And I think, church, we turn our panic into peace, not by more movement, but by more rest. So we've discovered that Jesus was in the and his head was on a very good. Number three, let's have a look. Go on in this story. Number three, Jesus was in the boat, his head was on a cushion, and then the disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, this is profound because they were the disciples. And they said, don't you care? So, you know what? Like, you have a crisis in your life or you have a meltdown, I know you wouldn't because you're much more spiritual than me. But on occasion, I may have had a little challenge. And you know what? Sometimes, like even the other year, like last year, I was telling the girls, I had this moment. And I actually sat in my bed one night and I thought to myself, Jesus, do you even care? Do you care about my life and the details and the stuff? And this doesn't happen all the time, but you know one of those times like you open your Bible and it just falls at a scripture? Okay, this is the scripture it fell at. And this is profound. I'm going to read it to you. It is in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, I read that, like, I've probably read that before. Oh, He's God and we're His sheep and, you know, sheep of His pasture. All of a sudden, it like leaped off the page. I'm like, oh my gosh, hang on. He's God. He made me. I'm His. I'm His person. I'm His person. Oh my gosh, like I'm God's person. I'm God's person. That's amazing. You're God's person. He made me. I'm like the sheep of His pasture. I mean, I don't know what you think about a shepherd, but what does a shepherd do? A shepherd watches over the sheep. A shepherd protects the sheep. A shepherd makes sure the sheep are okay. A shepherd tends to the sheep, protects the sheep, feeds the sheep, covers the sheep, watches the sheep. If any sheep go astray, the shepherd goes after the sheep. That's amazing. That's what He said. He goes, I've got you covered. I'm your shepherd. You're my person. Everybody say, I'm God's person. No, you're God's person. You're God's person today. And I think, church, if we can get a revelation that we're not just a believer and we come to church, we do stuff, but we are God's person, something starts to shift. He starts to say, listen, I've got you more than you know. I'm your shepherd. You're my person. I care about every detail of your life. And I think the disciples here were full of fear because they didn't believe that He cared. If they had believed that, hang on, no, He really cares. Like He cares about the little things. You know what? If you believe that He really cares about all your little things, the fear starts to diminish. And the fear and the panic starts to turn to peace because you realize, hang on, He cares because Jesus is in the, with His head on a, and now we realize that He absolutely cares. How good is that? Okay, so number four, it is amazing. Are you enjoying this message? I love this message. This is so good. Okay, number four. How do you turn your panic into peace? I believe it can be found in verse 39. Now, this is amazing. It goes on and it says, okay, we'll just remind. Jesus was in the, His head was on a, and now we realize that He, okay, now pick this up with me. It says this, don't you care if we drown? So, Jesus got up. Okay, this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus got up. Introduces Himself to the story. Jesus got up, He rebuked the wind, and He said to the waves, quiet, be still. Now this to me is profound. How do you turn your panic into peace? What did Jesus do? He rebuked. That is a very strong word. It means He refused something. And He wouldn't allow it access. So He rebuked what you couldn't see, which was the wind. And He spoke to what you could see, which was the waves. Now listen, church, this is actually really important. What are you accepting in your life that you need to be rejecting? Because if we're going to turn me, I talk to me, I preach to myself, you know that. I didn't just preach to you, I'm preaching to me. What am I accepting? Am I going to accept fear, the default of fear for the rest of my life? Or am I going to choose no? Hang on a minute, I'm rising above this. I'm going to rebuke what people can't see. People don't know why fear has worked its way into my heart. I know where it's come from. I know different things that I need to say. Hang on, I'm not accepting it. I'm rejecting it. So Jesus rebuked what you could not see. And I wonder what's in your life today that people can't see. Is there maybe bitterness in your life? Is there pain in your life? Is there anger in your life? People can't see bitterness. People can't see anger. They can only see it when it manifests, but they can't see that it's there. Is there hurt? Is there unforgiveness? Like, what is it that's silent in your heart that you need to rebuke? Because if you don't rebuke certain things, they don't go away. So we have to be the people of God. See, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, He's done everything for us. But if you just accept everything and you don't reject anything, then you're never going to walk in the freedom that He has got for us. So church, I want to encourage you to rise to your feet and start rebuking, not literally right now, but start rebuking things in your life that do not meant to be staying there. Don't accept what you need to reject. And then you need to start to speak to yourself. See, He rebuked the wind and He spoke to the waves. See, I've got to speak to myself all the time. My nose is running. I say to myself all the time, I am confident, I am bold, I'm courageous, the Spirit of God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. I have nothing to fear because He's near. I tell myself, because I have to speak to myself, because I'm going to reject what I need to reject and I'm going to accept what I need to accept. And if you believe it, everybody said, I'm going to accept the tissues. But you know what is actually so true? It's so true. We're going to turn our panic into peace. Reject what you must reject. Accept what you must accept. And then number five, we'll go on. Number five, okay, get this. Jesus was in the... His head was on a... Then we realized how much He... And then we realized that He turned your panic into peace because He started to... storm. Everyone say, speak to the storm. Okay, we have to do it again. So Jesus was in the... His head was on a... We realize how much He... And now He starts to... Very good. Okay, so then number five, how do you turn your panic into peace? Well, I believe peace comes. Listen, when you allow Him to turn your fear into faith. Okay, He was in the boat. We realize how much He cares. We realize how much He cares. Jesus was in the boat. Sorry, His head was on a cushion. We realize how much He cares. And then He spoke to the storm. And then get this. And then the wind died down. It was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Awesome. So church, why are you so afraid? You might think, what am I afraid of? Well, why are you so afraid? Because that's what He said to His disciples. Why are you afraid? Now, I'm just wondering, would you agree with me, church, that because they're disciples, they were in the inner circle? Would you agree with that? So they had seen the miracles. Would you agree? They had walked with Jesus. They had hung out with Him. And now, Jesus is asking them, why are you afraid? That to me is crazy. And so I guess the question goes out to you and I, why are we afraid? What are we afraid of? Because I believe that He wants to turn our fear into faith. And I read this scripture to the women at Flourish. And it actually is an unfolding revelation. I read this scripture nearly every day now. And it's from the Bible passage of Abraham, because Abraham was the father of fear. No. What was he? He was the father of faith. So I found this profound. I'm reading it to you. I've got to finish now, so quickly. Romans chapter 4, the worship team can come. Oh, they've come already. They want to get rid of me. Listen. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautious, skeptical questions, but he plunged into the promise and he came up strong, ready for God. Do you know, church, can I remind you, God wants to take your impossible situations. He wants to take the things that might cause you fear, and he wants today to turn it around, and he wants to make it into faith. Just like Abraham, he didn't look at the hopeless situation and give up. He didn't look at what was impossible with man and give up. But rather he said, no, I choose today. I choose faith. And as he chose faith, God turned his fear. I believe he turned his fear around and he made it into faith. And I believe today, church, God wants to take our fear and turn it into faith. And my final point is point number 6. Okay, Jesus was in the... His head was on a... We realize how much he... And then he started to... And then he turned their fear into... And then finally, church, finally this. It can be seen in verse 41. It said this. They were terrified. And they asked each other, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. So is it possible? We've remembered that they were the disciples. They were the inner circle and they were asking themselves, who is this? So is it possible to sit in church for decades and still say, who is this? Is it possible to come to everything and act like a believer and lift my hands and sing the songs? Yet you're like, who even is this? That's what happened to me. And I said, who even are you? Do I know you? I still ask, do I know you? Do I even know you? Are you like... I know. Because I think the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, because he's unsearchable. But you know, I believe you turn your panic into peace when you're reminded who he is. And church, he reminded me of who he is. It's in Psalm 18. I'm going to read to you who he is, just to remind you who he is, okay? This is who he is. We're going to read it here. Look, I love you, God. The psalmist says, you make me strong. God is the bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight, my God, the high crag, where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. I love it, church. He's reminding us who he is. It says that he is the bedrock. He's the bedrock. Have a look at this picture of the bedrock. He's the bedrock under your feet. Look at this. So when you walk and you start to feel afraid, you start to remind yourself, hang on, I've got a secure foundation that I'm walking on, and it's something that cannot be shaken. Because he is the bedrock under my feet. And then it says that he's the castle. He's the castle. Look at this castle. He's the castle of which we live. And you might live in a small house today. Or you might live in a mansion. Or you might live like many people in Africa in a little shack. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, you live in a castle. Because you serve the King of Kings. And then it says he's your rescuing knight. He's your rescuing knight. What does a knight do? Well, he rescues. Like he comes in on his horse and he's like, you need help. Come on, I've got you. And then he comes back. Okay, come on. I'll pick you up and I'll take you safely. I'll take you where you need to go because he's your rescuing knight. And then it says, he's your high crag. What is a high crag? This is a high crag. Look. How How good is that? He lifts you up and he says, now look out. Fresh vision, fresh perspective. Let me let you see clearly. I'll help you to see clearly what's out there. And then he says, and then you'll find safety in the granite hideout. What is a granite hideout? Look at that. So when you're in trouble, you just crawl in. You crawl into your little granite hideout and you're like, okay, God, you're going to do all of this because you love me and you care for me and you're going to turn my panic into peace and you're going to turn my fear into faith. And I put my trust in you, safe in the granite hideout. So church, I want to remind you exactly who he is today, because if you know who he is, then he takes your fear and he makes it faith. He takes your panic and he makes it peace. If you believe it today, everybody shout amen. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.